What's up, guys? Welcome to another edition of the Current Era Pod. Today, today, Spider-Man, Sam Raimi edition, Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3, with the reintroducing, or the re-releasing, I should say, of the Spider-Man, Sam Raimi films in theaters. Monty and I wanted to get on the pod and talk about our love for them, so that's what you will hear in this episode. Guys, if you are listening, please stop listening here and go to youtube.com/thecurrentairpodcast. That's it. Let's go and get to the episode. Mondi. Hey, man, I know. Wait.
Thwip.
today is going to be a special day, man. Look, both of us grew up on these films that we're going to discuss, and these are the Spider-Man, Sam Raimi films with Tobey Maguire. As you know, obviously the re-release of these films in theaters has kind of caused us to go down memory lane, and we were like, man, we should just do a pod. So here we are. We're going to talk, we're going to discuss, we're going to say what we like, what we don't like, and let's get into it, man. I'm excited. Let's do it.
Yeah, Sam Raimi trilogy in honor of the re-release. So I watched all three of these films within like the last week or two. Did you?
Me too.
I know you saw Spider-Man 3. Oh, you watched all three of them?
Yep, I watched all three of them. Yep.
Oh, you went to all three of them in the movies?
No. Just Spider-Man 3 in the movies. I watched Spider-Man 1 and 2 on Peacock, I think they were on.
Same. I watched mine on Disney Plus, but yeah, okay, same. All right, cool. So my kind of format for this pod is that I was just going to do like a brief review, and then I had these tidbit notes or like just kind of get your thoughts on certain things that I also want to add in as well. Did you want to do review as well as me, or did you just kind of want to get into your thoughts?
You steer the ship, Monty, and I'll jump in where I fit in. We'll do it that way.
All right. Thanks for letting me steer, Daddy. All right. So Spider-Man 1, Raimi, comes out in 2002. The opening credits for this movie, when I saw this movie countless times, I haven't seen it in a while, but the opening credits alone just brought back so much nostalgia for me. That Danny Elfman score is just beautiful. It's amazing. Spider-Man 1 has that like 3D animation, like opening for some reason, like it's weird, but it works.
Hey, at the time, that shit was cutting edge. I was just like, wow, what the, wow.
It kind of reminded me of like the Justice League opening when they're all like having their individual like things.
Yeah.
That was so cool to me. Dun, dun, dun. Exactly. Sorry, go ahead. I remember standing in line for this movie, bro. I really do. I was 2002. I was 8 years old. Yeah, 8 years old. And I remember there was like a line outside of the theater, and we waited for like an hour or 2 hours, like me and my parents. And I remember this guy in line was like, yeah, it's my third time watching the movie. And I just remember it dawning on me, like, you can watch a movie more than one time if you really enjoy it. Like, that was just insane. And so my parents were sick that he told him that, because he was like, okay, now he don't want to watch this shit more than one time. And I did. God damn it. But yeah, just opening the movie, man, Tobey Maguire as Peter Parker is such a great casting, in my opinion. I love all the Peter Parkers that we've gotten. Toby's still my guy personally. He's so likable. He's so sympathetic. Just the way that he looks at MJ, like with those eyes, it's just like you just feel that he really loves this girl. Willem Dafoe is so great, obviously, as Norman Osborn / Green Goblin. He proved that he's still great almost 20 years later in No Way Home. J.K. Simmons, I have a hot take. I don't know if it's a hot take or not, but I think he literally should be in the conversation of best comic book casting of all time alongside the Hugh Jackman role as Wolverine, RDJ as Iron Man. Because I know those movies don't focus on him, like how Hugh Jackman and RDJ are required to carry those movies, but he's just, it's literally from the comic. It's literally from the 90s cartoon. It's dead on perfect. He has some of the funniest moments in all three of the movies, in my opinion.
Yep.
Green Goblin is the only villain in this trilogy who also has a secret identity like Peter Parker or like Spider-Man. And so the movie does a really smart thing of mirroring their journeys together. They both kind of get their powers together. They both go through the whole learning curve of understanding their powers together. And they both become either the best version of themselves or the worst version of themselves. I think that's really just good storytelling there. Peter, his montage of just learning how to use his powers is such a fun thing to me. It's just so cool. Like, there's so many iconic sequences arise from that, like him in the lunch tray or lunch table, whatever, the fight with Flash Thompson, him learning how to scale a wall for the first time, the whole web sequence, all that stuff is really good. And to this day, I still credit Spider-Man 2002, even though there were other movies like Blade and X-Men that came out beforehand, with having the blueprint for what an origin film is for superheroes in the modern era. look at Iron Man 1, look at any kind of, look at Shang-Chi, look at Blue Beetle. They all kind of use this formula that Spider-Man in 2002 used, in my opinion. And I think it's tried and true to this day. I personally am a fan of the organic webs that Toby uses. I know that's a big point of contention amongst fans. He should have the web shooters. I like the organic stuff. I really do. I think it adds more to like the spidery kind of thing of what, you know, what Spider-Man is. The last interaction with Ben Parker is just such a heartbreaking moment, in my opinion. And just to see Toby's face is just great acting there. And when you know what's coming, it really just hits you that much harder. The way he talks to Uncle Ben in that car beforehand, which, I mean, it makes sense. It's in line with, you know, with the Peter Parker, the overall, like the mythos, so to speak. Spider-Man saves MJ 3 times in this movie, which is hilarious. Three separate occasions he saves her ass, and that trend will go on through the rest of the trilogy. That part does get a little redundant, in my opinion. So that's kind of one of the only complaints. I still think this is the best live action suit 20 years later, either Tom Holland's suit, Andrew Garfield's suit. This suit is just so fucking clean. And last thing I just want to say is that to me, this movie is so great because there's zero fat in this movie. Every single sequence in this movie or every single scene has merit, and basically if you take away one scene, the piece of the puzzle is missing. Like, there's no fat, like fat meaning guys like extra scenes or like frivolous scenes. Everything matters to what the end goal of this movie is. And so I think Spider-Man 1 is a really good just film in general, but a great superhero movie. And so yeah, please, I know I went on for a little bit, but please give me your thoughts on the film.
Interesting, man. So look, you know, like you, I have to start from the beginning. I was 9 years old when this movie came out in theaters, man. And, you know, I've said many times on the pod that the reason why I love going to the movies today is because my mom always took us to the movies when we were kids, man. She always, we saw Blade in theaters. We saw,
hold on, what?
You saw Blade, nigga. Blade. Yeah. Bro. Blade.
My mom got so mad at my dad for taking me to go see Blade 1 and Blade, like, bruh. She was like, what the fuck did you take him to go see?
First of all, I was like 5.
that's traumatizing. That's traumatizing. And then we went to go see Blade. I couldn't see Blade 2 in the movie theater, so I had to watch it like a friend's, like a sleepover house, and I was just traumatized. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, but yeah, like, we went to see Blade. We went to see X-Men. We went to see basically anything that came out, and when Spider-Man was coming out, like, we were just like it was like, yeah, of course, like opening night. Like, it's so funny how, like, that's like a joke of ours now. Like, back in the day, nigga, like, you had to be there fucking midnight to see these movies. Like, there was no such thing as like a 6 p.m. on a school Thursday night. There was no such thing as that. So, man, being there, seeing this movie on opening night, man, it's just incredible. And then, you know, obviously you rewatch it because you love it. And then I'm not sure when was the last time I've seen it in its totality as an adult, but after rewatching it this time, man, it kind of just hit different, like, but in a really good way. Like, there were just certain scenes, especially the scenes that he was having with Uncle Ben and Aunt May that just hit different for me, man. Like, sure, like, those scenes were always gut punches, or they were sad, or whatever the case may be. But when, I guess, you know, when you're a kid looking at it versus when you're a 30-year-old married man, like, I'm not that same kid. I mean, I am to an extent, but, like, obviously I've grown and evolved, and it's just like, man, like, those conversations were really, like, hitting me. Like, I was like, Jesus Christ, like, This is like some really heavy stuff in this dumb superhero movie. Yeah, man, like, it has made me fall in love all over again, man. This, like you said, this is a really, really great film. After rewatching all three, I do think that this is the best of the trilogy. It's just so funny because, like, you know, James Franco's Harry Osborn is somebody that doesn't get mentioned, especially in this, because technically I guess he's barely in it. I mean, he may have had, like, I don't know, 15 total minutes of screen time in this versus in Spider-Man 2, he's obviously there, and in Spider-Man 3, he's, you know, but I still thought he was really good, man. Like, him and Peter's interactions together are just so organic and fun, and what what it's supposed to be. I know we always joke about how, you know, the Osborns are supposed to have the waves, but they just didn't have it in this one.
It was wavy, but not the wave.
Wave for sure. But yeah, like, man, just to echo your thoughts on why can't I think of Willem Dafoe and his Norman Osborn and Green Goblin, just like the playing those two separate characters as Norman and the Green Goblin is just so iconic. And it's actually funny watching these movies now because of all the memes. All the memes that you, yeah, like, it's just like, wait, like, this shit wasn't a joke to me. Like, it literally, like, it wasn't, like, and, you know, I'll talk about that more in Spider-Man 3 because that one is just so meme heavy. But and this one in particular, it's kind of hard to, like, watch these scenes and not be like, okay, like, damn, like, this is like a meme now. Like, it's not even like a part of the film anymore. Like, it's a part of culture. But yeah, anyway, yeah, Toby, awesome. He's still my GOAT. The web suit, awesome. I still love it. It's still the best Spider-Man suit. His fucking spider bite that he gets is still, like, so nasty looking. Like, it's just like a big fucking that nigga took a chunk out that nigga hand. Boy, nigga was hungry. But yeah, man, and, like, you know, even for, like, 2002, like, the effects were still really good and they still really held up. Especially with, like, all the glider stuff and the Spider-Man and Green Goblin fights, like, it all still looked really good. One thing I'm always going to say about this movie, and this is something that I still, even as a child, I didn't like, is the Green Goblin mask. I just think it just looks ridiculous. It, to me personally,
looks too Power Rangers-y.
It does, man. It just looks ridiculous. And I completely get the look that they were trying to go for, but I think it's just one of those things that's just so hard to translate to live action from the comic books or from even from animation. But yeah, and I think they realized that because they didn't bring it back in No Way Home, at least not in that way. But yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what else I can ramble on, man. Like, I love this movie. I had such a great time watching this again.
Would you have rather the scaly look or them try to attempt that, at least from the comics?
No, but I think more so what they did with Harry in Spider-Man 3, like, maybe just give him like a little, I don't want to say Mortal Kombat like mask, but, like, give him like a little something more instead of the big fucking goofy looking. I don't know. I promise, like, it's just the helmet, like the battle suit, the phone posits. Like, I love it. The fucking is the helmet, bro.
Norman was stepping on it, wasn't he?
Yeah, that nigga had that shit on, boy.
Yeah, but I think Spider-Man 1 too. I think it has the most impactful finale too for me. I don't agree with you that it's the best movie out of the three. I mean, I think they're all really good though. But to me, it's second best in terms of just the technicality of the film. But I think the ending is just so brutal. Like, I remember as a kid, like, Peter was getting his ass fucking whooped in that warehouse, you know, like, and I think the trend has kind of stayed true even till now. Like, Green Goblin always has just been superior to Spider-Man in terms of, like, fighting and, like, strength and stuff like that. I mean, Spider-Man finds a way to win because of his intellect. I think if Norman was fully intact from, like, his, you know, having, like, his own mind, I think it'd be a really even better fight for Green Goblin, but because he has that kind of insanity kind of thing that kind of helps Peter a lot of times in the comics and in you know, in other interpretations of the character. But Green Goblin just always whoops Spider-Man's ass, and maybe it's because Spider-Man like has like that Superman limit, like he won't go all out because he's scared.
That's exactly what I was saying. Like, I feel like Spider-Man pulls his punches a lot, especially when fighting somebody like Green Goblin. He shouldn't, but I think he does. Yeah,
that's probably a good point. But yeah, the ending of that was just really brutal. There's something I wrote down in my notes I just want your opinions on. Like, did you notice that? I didn't notice for some reason until now that Octavia Spencer was the actress in the wrestling ring who signed him up.
Yeah, crazy, man. Randy Savage was also in there. Crazy Hall of Fame wrestler.
Elizabeth Banks is Betty. I knew that, but that's just so cool seeing her early on in her career. Of course, she goes on to be Rita Repulsa. Mm-hmm. We have Joe Manganiello as Flash Thompson is one that I also always forget about. Slade himself.
Yeah, I agree. Like, even in Spider-Man 2, Donnell Rollins, who's a very famous comedian, he did the Chappelle show. I was just like, nigga, is that Donnell Rollins? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Did you also notice Phil Lamar on the train sequence in Spider-Man 2? I know I'm kind
of
jumping a little bit.
Of course. Phil Lamar is
an extra in the train. But yeah, just some really cool stuff, man. And I didn't realize how much Peter was dirty backing on Harry this entire movie. Bro, Peter, anytime he got Mary Jane alone, anytime he got MJ alone, you know he doesn't even love you like that. It's probably just for the money. Like,
that nigga didn't say that. No.
Relax. Peter, relax.
Low key. Go ahead. Low-key, Mary Jane is one of the worst parts of every film, and it's really unfortunate. No, I agree. Because I think Kirsten Dunst is a really good actress, and I think she kind of got pigeonholed into, like, the damsel in distress thing really early on. And
3 times in one film.
Yeah, and it was just like, there's nothing else we really have for her. She's either going to, like, be a slut, be a bitch, or she's going to be the damsel in distress. And, like, those were, like, the 3 things they had for her. And it was just like, damn, like, can we make her kind of interesting? Like, why do I care about this romance? Like, because I really don't. But, yeah, whatever.
I also noticed that he changes his voice in this movie, like, kind of like how Batman does, not to that extreme in, like, Batman Begins, but, like, when he's in the Spider-Man suit, he makes his voice have a little bit more bass. Did you notice that? He kind of abandons that in Spider-Man 2 and 3, but in this one, he changes his voice a little bit.
One thing I definitely noticed on this rewatch is that he wasn't very quippy as Spider-Man in Spider-Man 1, which doesn't bother me, but I know that's the main reason why
people love Andrew Garfield over Toby, because they say he embodies the quippiness of what Spider-Man is supposed to be. So.
Well, I do want to touch on the organic web part, because, again, like you said, that is a huge point of contention. I don't give a fuck. I honestly like it. I think the organic web thing is so fucking cool. Like, it's better, dare I say. So, that's better. My opinion. It's better.
Fan's point is that it shows off his intellect, because he's like a genius as well. And I get that. Mm-hmm. But I think Sam Raimi even said, like, he was like, why would a kid who's broke as fuck, poor hell, be able to create web shooters? Like, it just wouldn't make sense. So he said that's why he went with the organic webbing. And lastly, I just want to mention, like, remember those bombs that Green Goblin uses on the porch on the banister that kind of turn him into skeletons? Why did he never use those again? He could have killed Spider-Man so many times. those bombs were OP as fuck. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
They were. I mean, maybe, well, one of them got redirected towards the end of the fight, so maybe that's why he was just like, okay, let me not use those anymore. I don't know, but yeah, plot Mondi. They have to fight. Okay, they have to fight.
Right. Anyway, yeah. I give Spider-Man 1 personally, I give it a B+. I think it's, like I said, a really good film and a great superhero movie. And so yeah,
I give it an A, man. I love this movie. I love the Stan Lee cameos in every one of these movies, man. I miss them, honestly. I miss them in every Marvel movie. It's so funny, because, like, man, like, my mom, she's just like, every time she just, that's Stan Lee. And, like, mom, like, I know who the fuck Stan Lee is, but I was 8 or 9 or whatever, so maybe she thought I was just fucking stupid.
The creator of Spider-Man himself.
Yes, one of the co-creator, him and Steve Ditko. Yeah.
And Black Panther, bro. So, yeah. Let's talk Spider-Man 2. So I went first on my review last time, so I'll let you go first on your review for Spider-Man 2. 2004.
Yeah, man. Yeah, look, Spider-Man 2 is a really good film, man. It is really good. I also think it is, honestly, like, it's really just one step below. And honestly, it's because the first half of the film is just so fucking depressing. Like, and again, like, I think this is just me looking at it as an adult now. So, like, you know, like, he lost his uncle, he's losing his girlfriend, he's about to lose his home, like, he's losing his powers. It's like, Jesus Christ, bro, like, can anything go right for you? Like, literally, like, can anything go right? And, like, it is, like, obviously, like, this is Spider-Man. Like Spider-Man's life has to be shit so he can value his power, and so he can value responsibility he has. But it, like, at some point, man, you're just getting beat down. You're just like, damn, like, this isn't really that fun. But then, I mean, the second act or the second half of the film is just so strong. I think Alfred Molina's Otto Octavius is just, man, like he's just like booming on the screen, man, like just fucking presence. And then that something that Sam Raimi does really, really well is showcase that is just a little pinch now, just a little pinch of horror now, because you can't do too much in these superhero movies. But that scene where the doctors are trying to cut off those arms,
oh my god,
just, man, it's just so good, bro. It's so good. Like, just there's like one shot where like you see him just laying down, like you see his eyes, and you see like his body just waving around from the arms, just fucking everybody up. Oh, that shit is like bone chilling. It's like, oh my gosh, like, it's crazy. And also the scene where Rosie dies is just horrific. It's just like, oh my god, like fucking wife just got murked. Like, damn. But yeah, man, look, this movie, I mean, okay, Cap doing what he did at Endgame is now, in my opinion, is now the best superhero fight scene, the best superhero scene, whatever you want to call it, of all time. That's my opinion. But before that movie came out, what Spider-Man did with that motherfucking train, bitch. What Spider-Man did with that motherfucking train, bitch. Like, bro, like, look, man, I vividly remember being a 10-year-old kid, 11-year-old kid, however old I was in 2004. I was 11, yeah. Being in a theater and just being like, he can't do this. Like, he can't. No, seriously, like, no, and like I was just like there's no way he can do this. And like I love like the buildup of, okay, let me try to stop it with my feet. He's trying. He's like, okay, Jesus Christ, that hurt. And then he's like, okay, well, let me try a few webs, and the webs break easily. And then he's just like, fuck, man, like I got to do something. And he just, and like that shot of Toby, bro, when he's got it and he's it's just iconic to me, man. It means so much to me. Even like the bank fight with him and Octavius is still really great. There's so much fun to be had after having such a down first act, or first half, I should say. But yeah, man, like I still really love this movie. I think it's absolutely fucking fantastic. I think that I just enjoyed it a little less than the first one, just because of the first act or first half. But this is still an absolutely, absolutely amazing film. I love this movie.
Yeah, so I think you might be in a minority in terms of what you said about earlier, calling it, well, saying that to you is less great than Spider-Man 1. I think me in the majority, which that doesn't mean anything, but this is the superior, this is the best film in the trilogy. And now that I'm older, I appreciate it so much more. It was so interesting seeing Kevin Feige's name in the producer credits for this movie.
It was like, nigga, how long have you been doing this, bitch? How fucking long?
Started from the bottom, now we're here, huh?
Right. Damn.
Nigga said, wait till I get my own universe.
These niggas don't even know what I'm doing right now in the background.
Right. Yeah. Nigga had the MCU mapped out. But what you mentioned earlier about the first half of the film being kind of dour and depressing, when I was younger, I agree with you. That kind of dragged the movie down for me. But now that I'm older, for me, it really enhances the movie, because Raimi just puts Peter through so much in these films.
Appropriately.
He, like you said, mm-hmm. Financial issues, girl issues, and the reason why it sucks so much is because there's no reason in hell why somebody the likes of Spider-Man, who is a god in this universe, should mm-hmm. ever be dealing with these kind of things. But that's what makes Spider-Man the most relatable superhero of all time. He's me, he's you, he's the everyman. And Raimi just does such a good job of portraying that. Mm-hmm. Alfred Molina is really, really great here. Like, I think he's a great counterbalance to what Norman Osborn was, because Green Goblin is this maniacal insanity kind of person, and then you have this distinguished gentleman in Otto Octavius, and what he brings is just a whole different kind of thing. And it starts, obviously, the trend in Spider-Man movies where every single villain, or most of them anyway, are these really kind of sympathetic guys who are just fall victim to tragedy of their own, you know, their own kind of doing, and they all die by their own hand. Like you said, the hospital sequence, haunts me to this day. I remember as a kid, like that to me, that was like a horror scene. Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, like seeing the nurse's nail or the doctor's nails,
yeah, scrape across the ground.
Wow. I was like, that's still to this day. I was like, oh my god, like she must be really trying to get the fuck away. but yeah, like that was really, really good to me. That's just Raimi kind of showing off his background, obviously, with like the Evil Dead movies. Like I have to mention the train sequence. I know you did already, but bro,
please.
The one thing I love about, I think every Spider-Man has their strength. I think, you know, Andrew Garfield has the quippiness. He moves more like a spider. I think Tom Holland is like a good combination of both Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. He's kind of like, he fits the kid mold. He has that kid energy. But for me, Tobey Maguire, what makes him so great is that this nigga be boxing. He don't move like no spider. Hands, bitch. Yeah. Hands. He was boxing, Doc Ock. You understand me? Like that train sequence to me, I know you said the Cap sequence was the best to you, but this is to this day. I know we've seen bigger fights, like obviously the airport fight in Captain America Civil War, the Endgame fight, but just the intimacy of this fight, the fight choreography, the way that Spider-Man and Doc Ock's powers just complement each other so well. Like the way when he throws Spider-Man, he goes through that bridge. I'm like, bro, like he moving like Spider-Man right now. And it's just such a great sequence, bro. I've watched that scene on YouTube at least 100 times, and the movies I've seen it a good amount as well. To me also, I just want to say that, where was I? Oh, it always bothers me that when this is just like the nerd in me, when Spider-Man punches Doc Ock, that should be lights out. I get it. He has the arms, the mechanical arms, like that's his strength. But those are crazy abilities. But like, if Spider-Man gets to your face, he's so fucking strong, guys. He can lift 10 tons. Like it should be a wrap, but he's constantly punching Doc Ock in the face. And I'm like, bro, like, your jaw should be off your fucking head right now. But anyway,
there's been like working theories about that. Like he actually was knocking him out with every punch, but the tentacles were just fighting back and holding him on and waking him up because the tentacles controlled his brain. I don't believe that to be true at fucking all. Okay, but that's some nerds are saying. Like
that's super interesting though, because he's right. Yeah, the tentacles do control his brain.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever. Sam Raimi's probably somewhere like, no, nigga. I just didn't want him to be knocked out, and like the fight must continue. But
that's interesting. I think it's also interesting too that when I was younger, the arc of him losing his powers bothered me so much. I'm like, bro, this is so boring. I don't want to see that. I want to see him suit up. I want to see him fight bad guys. But now that I'm older, like that just really adds to the theme of the movie that much more, which is that him not having his powers and just being Peter and falling in love with MJ and going to class, that's the life that he deserves and that he wants. But him being Spider-Man is ultimately the ultimate sacrifice because he has to sacrifice everything that he really loves, right? At least he thinks he has to be the hero. And I think it was just a great sequence in the movie when he has no powers at all and he still goes in and saves that little girl in the fire. Like that just kind of shows that he is a hero, whether he has the powers or whether he doesn't. So that scene, like I said, nowadays that I'm older, is just such a really, really great scene. My only complaint with this movie is that to me, the finale in the warehouse, it just pales in comparison to what we got prior, which was the train sequence. It just feels a little bit underwhelming. I still like the finale, but it just feels a little bit underwhelming in comparison to that perfection of what that train sequence was. And so that's my only really complaint with the film at all. And so I mentioned that part one of Spider-Man is great because there's zero fat in this movie, but this movie is great because of the opposite reason. There's so much fat in this movie. There's so much moments that we don't really need. Of Aunt May in the yard sale giving that great monologue to Peter. Like there's so many other scenes that we don't need to really see, but that is just a good kind of fat, the kind of fat that adds character development and gives you just kind of more understanding of these characters that we love and that we know. And so I think I give Spider-Man 2 an A-. To me, it's the best film in the franchise. Not my favorite, though. My favorite is still yet to come, to be honest. But yes, I do want to mention some things to you that I just have in my notes as well. I always thought that the Dr. Connor appearances in the film would always like amount to something. I just thought it was just so cool seeing, like, if you know, like, Spider-Man lore, you know, he's the Lizard. I think Raimi even mentioned that he was planning on giving that Lizard treatment in either Spider-Man 3 or 4, but the studio interfered. Did you did you notice when he was a kid that was the Dr. Kurt Connors and what he was?
Of course, yeah. I mean, okay. they mentioned his name in the first movie, and I was just like, whoa, Kurt Connors. And then in the second movie, they actually had him in it. But yeah, of course, yeah. Okay. I do think, like you said, the original plan was to have him in 4, I believe. But yeah, they were just like, yeah, we're going to reboot and give Andrew Garfield the Lizard instead, unfortunately for him.
I hate the lizard's design in the Andrew Garfield movie. It's like, I want to take an actual lizard. I want to see no fucking lizard man. Anyway, they name dropped Doctor Strange in this movie, but
yeah,
he's like, oh, that name is taken, alluding to a bigger universe at play.
Yeah, that was definitely Kevin Feige.
I would fucking hate to see the Sony Doctor Strange. Oh my god.
Yeah. You know, that scene with Jameson, and where he's giving his monologue about how, like, damn man, like I fucked up. Like, we need this nigga.
And he comes to Texas. Then,
like, he's a crook. He's a minute. Bring me Spider-Man.
Bring me Spider-Man. He's so great, bro. This is our first introduction to Mr. Dickovich. Rent.
Yeah. Do you remember when niggas thought he was going to be in No Way Home? They were like, this is going to be crazy, bro. They're going to bring everybody back.
That would be nuts. Marvel fans are nuts. I still think to this day that his daughter is a better fit for Peter than MJ. As a hot take, I don't know. I think his daughter, they just have a cute little chemistry together. I would love to see Peter try and do that.
Yeah. He doesn't have eyes for her, though, man. He only has eyes for MJ.
I know. Did you notice that in this movie, MJ's hair, in the first one, her hair was like that bright red comic accurate MJ. And this one, it's just more of like a natural ginger color. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's something that initially bothered me, but her scenes were just so whatever anyway. I was just like, I don't really care. One thing that I will admit about this film that was kind of crazy. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's the next one. Never mind. I was going to say that he fucking did that kiss with Gwen. That shit was crazy. That was a crazy decision.
It's not me kissing her, Spider-Man.
Right, like, bitch, what? What do you think about the reveal?
Of what? Oh,
the reveal at the end where Harry finds out the truth.
Oh, it was a great scene. Great scene. He was trying to stab the fuck out of Spider-Man.
He was. This nigga had a sai, the most random weapon ever. Like, where did you get a sai from? Like, what? Fucking Ninja Turtle.
Yeah. If you think about it, Peter has had to ask for Harry's help in the finale of both 2 and 3, which is interesting. Harry's an integral part. Mary J's fiance is played by the actor who plays Elijah in the show I love called Vampire Diaries in the originals. I just noticed that on this rewatch. He's also in the comic books. He's J. Jonah Jameson's son. And he's actually one that goes to the moon when the symbiote gets attached to his spacecraft, and he's the one that brings it back to Earth, which is just a little fun fact there. I love that little move that Spider-Man pulls when he's swinging through the city. And he goes through like that trailer tractor. He barely like that kind of stuff just kind of stands out to me. I love those kind of scenes. When Harry slapped Peter at that party, man, that pisses me off to this day. I'm like, Peter, fight back. but I get it. Like that scene was a culmination of everything he went through in that movie. MJ gets proposed to. There's no food and drink on the platter. Harry slaps him. He has to take the picture of MJ. Like that's just Raimi just really like, damn, like his life is fucked up at this point.
Nigga, rock bottom.
Yeah. So let me ask you, which Spider-Sense scene is better to you? Because I think these are two of the best scenes in the whole Spider-Man lore. The scene when he's talking to MJ and Doc Ock throws that car, he goes,
okay.
And that scene is fucking crazy to me. Or the scene in No Way Home when Peter realizes that Norman is turning into Green Goblin. Which of the Spider-Sense scenes is better?
So I'm going to answer your question, but we need to set the stage here because something stinks. It doesn't make no fucking sense. So Harry's like, look, man, I'll give you all the tritium you need. Go find Spider-Man for me. Bring him here. I'm just like, bro, like, wait a minute. Like, he's like, okay, how do I find him? Go get Peter Parker. He takes pictures. Cool. This nigga throws a car at Peter Parker. Like, bro, like, how?
He would have died 100%.
Yeah, so I'm just like, wait a minute, bro. Like, what is he supposed to tell you if he's fucking dead? That was literally the only thing going through my mind. I'm just like, there's no way that this just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. Like, this nigga, Dr. Octopus just straight throws a car through a shop and expects Peter Parker to just dodge it and live and tell him where Spider-Man is. Like, oh, okay. Anyway, that one's better. First of all, yeah, that scene was still crazy. but yeah, like when I was rewatching it this time, I was just like, this doesn't really make sense, but I'm just going to go with it. Yeah.
And the scene when Peter burst through the rubble, like that's just such a great scene because up until now he's been kind of down in the dumps, powers are missing, but now he's back. It's kind of like that Superman scene almost a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, I remember people were saying on Twitter that Toby has like the best scream as Spider-Man. Have you noticed that? Like when he's falling, Toby's voice acting is so good. He's like you feel like the guttural sound of him like actually falling and stuff like that. I love Toby's screams as Spider-Man.
Yeah, even when he's getting hit. Like, I remember in the train scene where he's getting hit and he's, like, going through. He's like, It's like, damn, nigga, you okay? Oh, fuck.
Which is extra funny because Toby does the voice work for the game and people were like, he's so lazy. He
doesn't give up.
Doc Ock, leave me alone. Yeah. Don't say, we don't got to do this.
Anyway. Nigga's like, MJ, stop calling me. Like, what?
Toby was so pissed off. He had to come in for that.
Yeah, he really was. This nigga was this place sucks.
I guess Spider-Man 2 and A-. What grade would you give it?
I think I would give it an A. So I guess Spider-Man 1 would be an A-, and then this would be an A. Because I still think, like I said, I still think Spider-Man 1 is a better, more enjoyable film from start to finish. But this one is still really fucking good. It's still really
good. Wait, so you meant the opposite. You meant Spider-Man 1 is an A, and this is an A-, what you meant. Because you said Spider-Man 2 was an A, and you said Spider-Man 1 was an A-.
Okay. Yeah, whatever.
Okay, cool. All right, last one, guys, is for Spider-Man 3. This is the one I wasn't able to see Spider-Man 1 and 2 in the theaters, but I was able to catch this one in the movie theaters. Guys, I think this is my first like movie I've ever seen in the theaters, like a re-release. Now that I think about it, I'm like, have I ever seen a re-release before? Maybe I have. I can't recall any, though. But to watch Spider-Man 3 in a packed, sold-out theater in 2024, guys, that just felt like such a blast from the past. Everybody having their Spider-Man gear, Spider-Man hats. I didn't. Spider-Man belt, Spider-Man book bag. I was like, this just feels like this is the community I'm supposed to be in. I still play the song that MJ sings in the beginning of this movie all the time in my car. Like, well, the actual song is by Doris Day. Like, they say that falling in love is wonderful. I love that song so much. I play it all the time. And first of all, I just want to say that my theater, I don't know if this is true with your theater as well, but they thought that Spider-Man 3 was a joke. They were laughing at me like it was a comedy from start to beginning. And I couldn't tell if they were laughing at the movie or with the movie. It felt like at, to be honest, and that kind of pissed me off. But I was able to look past it because I think we were all just having a good time in the theater. This movie gets a lot of shit when it first came out. It got a lot of shit from the critics saying that it was just, you know, so bad in comparison to part one and part two. And I think that Sam Raimi did all that he could in his power to deliver a great film here. I think that anything wrong with this movie, I blame 100% on Sony studio interference, which has been reported. Like, this is the start of when Sony started going to hell. Like, Sony had literally, it's been verified. Like, they said that they want Venom in this movie, even though Sam Raimi said, hey, I don't have time to squeeze this character into this movie. He's an iconic villain. He deserves a 2-hour runtime to himself. Sony was like, no, the fans want Venom live action. So, goddamn it, we're going to have Venom. And Sam Raimi was like, okay, bitch, I'll give you fucking Venom. And so, yeah, I blame Sony. But Sam Raimi does all he can to kind of set up all three of these villains within the first 5 to 10 minutes of the film. If you go back and watch it, like, we had the symbiote come down within the first 5 minutes. We have Flint Marko busting out of jail. And we have, of course, Harry Osborn going into the goblin steam or whatever to get his power. So he tries to juggle these villains as much as he can to give them as much screen time as they deserve. But it's just not enough with this 2-hour runtime. Now, this might be a hot take as well. I think that in the beginning of the film, the fight between Harry and Peter is the second best fight in the whole trilogy, easily. I think this fight is so underrated, in my opinion. This is when Peter is out of costume and Harry just comes and swoops his ass up, drive-by style. And that fight is just so well choreographed. Get to see Peter just going crazy in the air. He's trying to get the ring. Goblin is like coming out of nowhere. It's just such a great thing. He has that line where I hate those things when, you know, Harry throws the goblin bombs at him or whatever. Such a great scene that no one ever talks about for some reason. I don't know. Do you agree with me on that? Or do you think I'm tripping? Like, that's a great fight, right?
Second best scene. I don't know about that, but it is a really great scene. It is a really
not,
great scene.
Not scene, but fight. Yeah. I think it's a great,
fight.
And I love how Harry in this film, when he fights Peter, he loses twice. Keep in mind, guys, this is an experienced Spidey at this point. This ain't no, and I think Harry is still, like, in comparison to his father anyway, even though he might have more upgraded weapons or whatever, he's still not Norman Osborn. He's not the Green Goblin that Peter fights. You know, I like how the movie makes a point to say, like, yo, this is Spidey. He's going to beat your ass every time. And he wasn't even trying the first time or really the second time either, if you really want to keep it a buck. I love now, in regards to all three villains that we have set up in this movie, we have Goblin Jr., Venom, and Sandman. Goblin Jr., that storyline is cool. It's the payoff of all three of the films. I love that Green Goblin's presence in all three of these movies in the trilogy is felt, and you feel his impact, because that makes sense. He's Peter's Joker to his Batman. He's the arch nemesis. And so we feel Norman Osborn's presence in all three of the films. Sandman is just kind of okay to me. He's there. I do think the birth of Sandman sequence is really, really cool. Like when he's first forming in that pit, the CGI still holds up really, really well, in my opinion. And now my hot take is for Topher Grace as Venom, Eddie Brock. I like the interpretation, honestly. Now, as Venom, not so much, but I don't blame him for that because he only had 20 minutes in the movie to really kind of form into his own character. But as Eddie Brock, I like him. Now, yes, it's very much different than the comic book counterpart where he's this big, brolic kind of bully, meathead kind of guy. But I felt like Sam Raimi was trying to do like an interpretation of like basically he's just Peter. He's like a mirror to Peter. He's nerdy like Peter. He takes photographs like Peter. But he's just kind of what Peter would be if he was like a douchebag or a dick. And I like that. I like that kind of mirror parallel to what Peter is, in my opinion. Topher Grace, I still fuck with him as Eddie Brock. Do you or not really?
He's serviceable. But I think anybody could have done what he did.
Oh, you think so?
Yes.
Okay. Well, now I have to get to, the iconic scene when, once again, this is Raimi kind of showing off his horror background when the symbiote takes over Peter in the bed. And of course, we get the iconic mic drop moment where I can quote, "Where am I? What is this?" The most iconic needle drop in music in superhero movie history. I don't care what nobody says that score. First of all, I cannot find that score on Apple Music, guys. I've been looking for the last decade. Every single movie score gets uploaded on Apple Music, for some reason they will not put that Spider-Man 3 score up there for whatever reason. I search every other week. I promise. I'm like, okay, it has to be up there now. No, it's not, guys. So that pisses me off to this day. And even Sandman's theme song is really good too. No one talked about that. It's a really good kind of interesting, like dynamic kind of thing. I like Sandman's as well. To me, this is my favorite in the entire trilogy. Now, I think it's the worst movie in the trilogy. I mean, they're all good in my opinion, but this is my favorite film in the entire trilogy. I think it has the most rewatchability because there's so much going on. There's so much cooks in the kitchen. It makes like a lot of like, okay, that's happening. Now that's happening. And it's the funniest movie to me, in my opinion. It's easily the funniest movie. Of course, like the whole Bully Maguire arc. Now, the reason why that works so well for me is aged really well, too. I know people used to shit on it when it first happened. Like, oh, this is not Peter Parker. Like, it's not supposed to be Peter Parker, bitch. He is a fucking symbiote. Anyway, Peter is so happy in the first half of this film. He's like blissfully happy. Like, everything's going right in his head. Things are going well with MJ in his head. He's killing it as Spider-Man. And so when we get that dark transition from him becoming a Bully Maguire, as they call him now, it just really works for me. And when he puts on that eyeliner and he puts them bangs down, he's on some bullshit. He is on straight bullshit. Like the scene when he walks past the mirror and first puts his bangs down, my theater erupted in laughter. I'm like, bitch, don't make fun of Bully Maguire. I love that arc personally. I really do love that arc. I think that he has so many iconic lines when he's in Dark Peter, like, I'm going to put some dirt in his eye. That got a big reaction out of my theater as well. Which also leads to the end of the Bully Maguire arc, which in my opinion is the best comic book shot. Well, not the best, but one of the best comic book shots in history. On top of the church tower in the rain, nighttime, black suit. Looking down, kneeling down. Like, what an iconic shot. Like, that shot, I remember that was all over the marketing for this movie. I was just like, I had to see it. I had to go see this movie. I think Aunt May knows, by the way, that he's Spider-Man. I think
she knew Spider-Man, too, with that speech.
Okay, yeah, because I saw some fans have said that when Doc Ock has her, and he's like has her for like not ransom, but he has her, and he yells in the Spider-Man suit, Aunt May, or you know, something like that. And she kind of figures it out, and then that leads to that speech. And if Aunt May does know, it's just such a great tidbit by Raimi to just kind of put it in there so subtly, and for her to really never address him or come forward, you know, straight at him like that. I think she's just such a great presence in this film as well. She's really his rock in this movie, and she does such a good job.
The actress Rosemary Harris was amazing in all three of these films, honestly.
She really is. She really is. Love, we also get to see how tragic Harry's life is in comparison to Peter. You could argue it's even more tragic. He's just doing what he thinks is right. He's trying to avenge his father. I was so happy to see them at the end team up. I think they make a great team. Like, they're doing combos, they're having good banter. Like, this would be a good ass team if y'all just help defend New York, you know, together. But of course, that ends up leading to his death, obviously. I do think this is the worst finale out of all the finales in terms of just the stakes, and it just felt kind of weak, you know, with the whole Venom and Sandman thing. This is my favorite out of the trilogy. I blame all the faults of this movie due to the studio interference. I give this movie a B, just a B. I think it's a good film, but like I said, my favorite in the trilogy. So please give me your thoughts.
Interesting. So I also saw this movie in theaters in 2007. And of course, I saw it on the rewatch this past Monday. Kind of like I stated earlier, where it felt like this movie, especially, I mean, obviously, I didn't see the other two rewatches, so I guess I really can't say that. But it felt like this movie, especially, people were there to just laugh at it. And I wasn't having a good time in the theater. I really wasn't. I felt like the old man. Like, I was just like, this shit, this is not fucking funny. Like, this is serious fucking business here. Like, niggas is laughing at every little thing. Like, everything was just a kiki or a ha ha I felt so old watching this movie. My theater is also packed. There were several people dressed as Bully Maguire, several people dressed as Dark Suit Spider-Man, full costume, by the way.
As Bully Maguire? As Bully Maguire.
And it just felt like they were there to just laugh at this movie, man. I wasn't having fun. I actually ended up walking out of my screening. Like, I was just like, I don't.
No way.
Yeah, like I don't want to be here with you guys. Like, this isn't fun for me. Like,
damn.
I'll let y'all do y'all's thing and y'all have fun and y'all, you know, y'all laugh and joke about it. But
when'd you walk out?
Probably like an hour 30. What did I see?
This man, we'll walk out of a theater. He don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I just wasn't having fun, bro. Like, I wasn't. I'm like, sorry. I was just getting pissed off at everything. Like you said, like, as soon as he looked in that mirror and touched his hair, like, the crowd was like,
Bully Maguire. It is funny, but
it is, but it's not that fucking funny.
Like, you can tell when people are laughing at something as opposed to
something. Yeah, it's just like, come on, bro. Like, this is a fucking joke to me. But anyway, look, let's talk about the actual movie, okay?
Take Spider-Man 3 seriously. We're gonna sit here right now, don't we?
look, I still love this movie, man, and maybe that was to my fucking detriment. Maybe I shouldn't give a fuck about this goddamn movie and just laughed at it too, but I just couldn't. Okay, like, this shit was not fucking funny to me, bitch. I was
in there. Walked out. That's so crazy.
I walked out.
Oh, nigga. Release. You know,
I called Avi. I was so mad. I was like, you can't believe these fucking kids in here. I was just like, oh God. All right. Anyway. All right. Look, the movie. Look, this movie is a lot. It is a lot of fun. Toby is so oblivious to how shitty a boyfriend he is. Like I said, like that scene where he literally kisses Gwen in like the classic Spider-Man. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing, bro? Like, and then he had the nerve to be like, why are you tripping, MJ? Like, bitch, like, that was Spider-Man. Like, the fuck? Like,
that wasn't me. That was Spider-Man. Like,
you know damn well Peter wouldn't do that shit. Like, nigga, what, bro? Like, what? Look, I will say it was super fun being in theaters for the Venom suit up scene. It was fun being in there. For that, I will say I the one time I did laugh at the movie was where Brock was out there trying to take pictures of the new black suit Spider-Man and Peter's and breaks his camera. See ya, chump. Like that. Okay. I couldn't help it. That was funny. I actually do love that meme. But the rest of the shit, bitch, isn't fucking funny. All right. Harry has he has so much to do in this movie. From that initial fight to losing his memory, getting his memory back, trying to steal his girl, trying to fuck up his entire life. It's like, whoa, like, this nigga's a villain. Like, okay.
How's the pie?
So. Right. Yeah, them fuck niggas love that too.
When Peter sees Harry through the window and that bus goes by, and Harry's like, nigga, Harry's on that ground. Like,
right.
Nigga. Nigga, if Peter walked in that restaurant, he would have saw Harry on the ground looking stupid as fuck.
Oh, I almost just passed out. Oh God, that was funny. Holy shit, yeah.
Nigga pulled a bad man.
Yeah, the Sandman thing. I don't hate Flint Marko. as a character, and I don't hate the Sandman story in this film as much as a lot of people seem to. Honestly, I think it's low key like part of the heart of the movie, like his story with him and his daughter. Like he says something to the effect of like, I'm not a bad guy, I've just had bad luck. He's trying to raise money to like literally save his daughter's life, and I mean, what the fuck would you do to save your kid? So, you know, we can all relate to that story. I do agree that his whole Sandman transformation still holds up really well. It was like, wow,
it's kind of a beautiful scene, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good for 2007. Like, holy shit, okay. It's crazy, but like, that's like a lifetime ago. That's like so long ago now. And you know, to see how far things have come is just, it's good to see stuff like that still hold up. Venom, I can tell that he was kind of an afterthought, and that, you know, maybe he really wasn't supposed to be in this movie. Because honestly, if you take everything out, like the entire symbiote stuff out, like the movie still kind of works. You can explain Peter's new attitude in a different way, kind of like I did in Spider-Man 2, but whatever. I still think that bell scene is just so, it's just so iconic to me, man. Like where he's trying, he's scratching and clawing to get that shit off. That bell rings and you see Venom's face right next to his, like screaming. Yeah. And then Toby's like, ah, that shit is iconic as fuck to me, man. This third act is something, man. It is, good Lord. I left the theater right around the time Harry got his memory back and right after he made MJ break up with him. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. So right when that bus passed, or right before that bus passed, and he did that look back for that meme again. And like everybody was like, oh, there it is again, the meme. I was like, all right, I've had a fucking enough. I'm out of here. So then I watched the West on Peacock, but it's just so good because
watch it on Peacock is nuts.
I literally did. Yeah, I was like, I'm getting out of here. These fucking children.
Wait, same night? Did you watch it on Peacock the same night?
I literally got home and finished it on Peacock. Like, yes. I fast forwarded to where I was, and I was like, I'm gonna finish this fucking movie.
You are old man, for real.
Yeah, I'm self admitted, but yeah, this third act is pretty. It's pretty bad, man. I can't lie. It's not
it's bad.
It's bad. It's certainly not good. Yeah,
it's something. It's something. I can't say yeah. It's bad.
I don't know, man. This third act is just
Petey, my spider sense is tingling.
Yeah. Topher Grace is an interesting choice, but like I said, I feel like anybody could have done what he did, especially in the Venom suit. And yeah, I mean, look, ultimately, I remember being super sad when Harry died in 2007. Like, I remember being super sad, like, wow, like, I can't believe they actually killed Harry. This time, it didn't really hit as much. Maybe it's because I knew it was coming. I don't know. But I mean, I've seen Lion King numerous times, and I feel like that hits every single time. So, whatever. But yeah, look, ultimately, this is just Spider-Man pretty much at the peak of his powers, like you said, like, pretty much handling any problem, which is just great. Great to see. And this movie is still a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun. I still love this fucking movie. But this the third act, man, it brings it down for sure. So you gave it a B. Okay, sure. Let's give it a B, I guess, to be generous.
Even for me, a B. To me, this Spider-Man 3 is still better than like 80% of the movies that come out today, like superhero movies anyway. Like, it's still a 100%. Well-constructed movie, in my opinion. It's got great themes. You feel the emotion. Better mm-hmm. than Marvel's, better than Love and Thunder, better than Quantumania. Like, it's better than most of the bullshit we get today. So the fact that mm-hmm. they got shitted on so much in 2007, it kind of bothers me. But hindsight's 2020. Go ahead.
I guess so. Yeah, it's weird. Anyway, yeah, ultimately, yeah, I love this movie. I don't really have much more to say, man. It was a fun rewatch of these three films. I had a lot of fun.
How do you feel about all of Spider-Man's villains being tied so closely to Peter Parker's life? Does that bother you? How convenient it is? Like, Norman Osborn's his best friend's dad. Otto Octavius is his mentor. Sandman killed Uncle Ben. Like, that part bothers a lot of fans as well. Like, you make Sandman be the one that killed Uncle Ben. Like, does that kind of bother you? Or not really? They're all so closely tied to Peter's life.
He didn't know Otto Octavius. He got to meet him just because Harry introduced him, and they spent time together in that film. But he didn't know him prior to that. So,
but Norman Osborn.
Sure. I mean, don't they all have to have some type of connection? It can't just be some random nigga, can it?
Yeah. Have you seen Iron Man? Have you seen Thor? Have you seen Captain America? Yeah. Well, but Thor and Iron Man, yeah. Anyway.
Who's the villain in Thor? I can't even remember.
In Thor 1?
Well, it was his brother, but, Loki? How is that not a connection?
But in Thor 2, it was the Dark Elf, Malekith, no connection. Hela, sister, yeah, connection. Love and Thunder, Gore the God Butcher, no connection. Anyway.
All right.
Where MJ in this movie was the most annoying she's ever been in the entire trilogy, in my opinion. Now, look, I get it. Peter was being kind of a douche boyfriend or whatever, but you had to know what you signed up for when you fucking agreed to date Spider-Man, bitch. Like, she'd be mad when I think I got to go save the city. Like, that goes for all women who date superheroes and get mad when, like, oh.
Amber?
I guess the police are calling again and you got to go save them. Like, yes, bitch. Like, who the fuck do you think you are? I don't know. I'm sorry. That bothers me. Also, if you notice, MJ has cheated in every single movie, by the way. In part one, mm-hmm. when she was dating Harry, she kissed Spider-Man when he was upside down, the iconic kiss.
Yep.
Spider-Man 2, she tried to recreate the iconic kiss with her fiance. Oh, no, that's not cheating. When she kissed Peter at the diner when before like Ock attacked, that's her cheating on her fucking fiance. And in part three,
she didn't.
She didn't what?
She didn't kiss him. I mean, he tried to kill them. Remember? Like, they were going to kiss. They were leaning in for the kiss. And then he was like, I'm about to kill these two niggas. Yeah.
Hey, about to
that's cheating, bitch. No, that's cheating, right. Bitch. Yeah.
And in part three, kissing Harry, like, you didn't cheat in every single movie, bitch. And if I was Peter, Gwen Stacy, Bryce Dallas Howard in 2007.
Shout out to Bryce Dallas Howard, bro.
I was the bad bitch back then. I'm sorry, Peter. Mm-hmm. Fuck Mary Jane. You want some thighs? You want anyway.
My nigga Craven was her dad, the police captain's dad.
Craven, what do you mean?
Craven from Underworld. He played her dad. Not Craven. I'm sorry, that was not Craven.
That's not Craven.
He looked just like him now.
I think he meant Victor.
Victor, sorry, Jesus, that's not him either. It literally is not him. But
that actor's name is Bill Nighy. Yeah, that's not him at all.
Yeah.
Peter is nuts for pulling up to the function at his ex with the bitch that she was worried about. Peter, you're nuts for that. That's why I love Bully McGuire.
Yeah.
The fact that he was getting bullied in college really bothered me. Like, people were throwing spitballs at him and shit. I'm like, nigga, in college that shit does not happen. And if it does, you're just a super nerd. the shot of Peter and MJ in the little web hammock in the beginning is really just a beautiful shot, in my opinion. An underrated scene. I love that scene. There's also some really good foreshadowing in this movie as well. Like when Harry comes out of his coma, he says, you know, these are my best friends. I'll give my life for them. And of course, he ends up dying. And then MJ tells Spider-Man or Peter, she's like, hey, you know, we all need help sometimes, even Spider-Man. And of course, at the end of the movie, Spider-Man ends up needing help from Harry. So those are just some really good foreshadowing moments, in my opinion.
Why the fuck did Bernard not say anything for 2.5 movies? Why was this nigga so content on keeping this fucking secret until the end of the third movie? Like, this nigga was like,
I'm not Master Osborn. Your dad killed himself.
Yeah. I've seen things that I've never spoken of in this castle, sir. And like, nigga, that's a pretty big thing to leave out, bro.
That nigga sound like a slave in this bitch. But but also, that logic doesn't make any sense. I mean, Peter could have still killed Goblin with his own glider. I mean, just because he was stabbed with his own glider doesn't mean he killed himself. But I get what the point of the movie. Anyway. Have you noticed that Bruce Campbell, which is Sam Raimi's golden boy, was in all three of these movies? In part one, he's the one that's announcing the Amazing Spider-Man. In part two, he's the guy that wouldn't let him into the theater where MJ's performing. And in part three is his funniest role when he's the Frenchman who gives Peter the ring. I thought that was just a really cool thing, a nod to his boy. Also, Bruce Campbell shows up in Multiverse of Madness as well. And he's like the hot dog stand on that planet. Like you said, Bernard's a bitch. I don't know what the fuck he was thinking about. also, I love the fact that Venom kind of like to me, Venom does not need the help of Sandman at all. Like, that just kind of goes to squeezing in the villains at the end. Like, Venom is his own beast within itself. Like, if you think Goblin's a fucking problem to Peter, Venom is Peter's superior in every single facet except intelligence. He's bigger, he's stronger, he's faster. Peter cannot hold back punches on Venom. Venom will fucking fuck him up. And Carnage is even worse. So the fact that he needed Sandman and Venom, like, that was just kind of like, I mean, he was losing, which makes sense, I guess. But I would have loved to see like a one-on-one Venom Spider-Man fight, which we kind of didn't get. Also love the comic accurateness of like Venom is one of the only people who doesn't activate Spider-Man's spider sense. And in the movie, you get to see that anytime Venom comes out of nowhere to attack Spider-Man in that last act, Spider-Man does not see it coming at all. Like his, there's no spider sense warning. The symbiote totally negates that spider sense, which is really, really cool to me. And just for a little fun fact for the nerds, the reason why he doesn't have spider sense with Venom, because when the symbiote was attached to Spider-Man, it learned all of his weaknesses and strengths. And so when it attached to a different host, it kept that spider sense in mind. It was like, okay, so we're going to negate that shit because we got to fight him. So that's really, really cool. Sam Raimi did mention that. What the fuck are you laughing at? I hate you. Sam Raimi did mention that he did have plans for Spider-Man 4. He wanted to bring in Vulture. He wanted to bring in Lizard. He wanted to bring in Black Cat. But the studio, because even though this movie made the most financially, it was received so poorly from critics that they decided to go a different direction with Andrew Garfield. And so I think I would have loved to see Spider-Man 4. There's still talks that Sam Raimi might come back and do a Spider-Man 4 if Sony's up for it. I'm sure Sony is. If Sony will do Silver Sable, they'll do anything. So it's only a matter of time until that comes. Are you looking forward to a Spider-Man 4 in this era? Would you think it should keep it how it is? And if you are, what do you want to see in it?
I think that this is the perfect time to do it. Toby himself is older. I think they can tell a more mature story. Now, for everybody, that doesn't mean he's got to be a fucking Logan. That's not what it means. He doesn't have to sit and watch his friends die. The nigga's not 100, okay? You can still tell a good Spider-Man story at the age Toby is. The seasoned, grizzled vet who's seen it all. As far as villains, none of those villains you mentioned, it just excited me. But
I mean, I'm sure his plans have changed 20 years later, but...
Yeah, I mean, low-key, I think it's time for the Sinister Six, and I think it's time for, like, a Spider-Man team-up. And I think they need to just bring Andrew and Toby together and just do it like that. That's what I want. So.
Okay, so you don't want Spider-Man 4, obviously. You want Spider-Man 3.5. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I want a legit Spider-Man 4, old man Logan style, at the end he dies. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. I mean, he doesn't have to die, but I mean, I just love that Logan formula. But anyway, guys, that wraps it up. I rank the movies, and personally, from just the best films, I go 2-1-3. But from enjoyment level and rewatchability, I'll go 3-1-2. That's just my ranking. What's yours? I'm just curious.
Best movie, it is 1-2-3. Rewatchability, that's a good one. It'll be 3-1-2. No, 1-3-2. And what was the other thing you said?
That was it.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Rewatchability. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, great, great pod, man. We love these Spider-Man movies. Spider-Man 4 coming soon.
Do you plan on watching the Andrew Garfield movies? Because I think that they're coming to theaters soon, too. I don't plan on watching those in theaters, but do you plan
on watching them? I'm not going to watch those in theaters, no. Not after this fucking experience I just had with Spider-Man 3. No. But then again... This movie isn't as memeable as the Sam Raimi movie, so maybe I probably won't. But yeah, we'll see.
All right. Great pod. Thank you.
Thanks, Monty.